Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Her Name is Hazel by Sarah Forrester Davis. Narrated by Rachel Perry and Joseph Toby. Hazel, During. Keep it together, Hazel. Keep it together. If you stay quiet, he won't find you. If you hide here long enough, he'll probably just give up looking. He'll move on to someone else. He'll forget all about you, for now. My name is suddenly being screamed from a distance. I grab at coats that have been thrown onto the closet floor, covering my entire body with them, like that might help. I can't let him find me. I need to be invisible.
I know you're in here somewhere,
he shouts.
Just come out so we can talk. I promise. We'll just talk.
Talk? Bullshit. He doesn't want to just talk. He wants to control me. He wants to control every little thing about me. He wants to own me. That's what his plan was all along. To own me. To feel as if he's the reason for all my success. He wants me to forever be in his debt. Even if by doing so I lose myself in the process.
Fine!
His sharp voice pierces the walls around me. I slam my hands over my ears to cover the noise.
If this is how it's gonna be, good luck making it in this world. Acting like this will only ruin you, I'll make sure of that.
Ruin me? I'm already ruined. He's already ruined me. He accomplished that a while ago. My heartbeat is rapidly thumping in my ears. It's obnoxiously loud, like it's trying to drown out all other sound. It's trying to protect me from him, from all that could possibly happen. But it's not working. I can hear the footsteps getting closer, even over the steady rhythm pounding in my head. And then I abruptly hear nothing. Absolute silence. I wait for it, because I know he's coming. 3, 2, 1. And the closet door flings open.
Chapter 1. Before and after. I've always thought of my life as a before and an after. I'm not sure where to put the split, where the before came and where the after started. All I know right now is that the before was definitely better than the after. I prefer the before because the after is just ridiculous. You know what else is ridiculous? London in the late spring. It's a goddamn joke. There's no sun. Just constant grey clouds and rain drizzle. I glance around at the pale-faced patrons who are pretending they don't recognise me as they guzzle down their drinks in this elaborate pub hidden in the heart of the city. But I see the way they hold their phones up as if taking a selfie. They recognise me, and they think they're being clever. But in reality, I know it's me they're taking a photo of. There's no goddamn selfie. They're not clever. They're simply foolish. Everyone here looks like they just crawled out of an underground shelter. No colour. Dark rain slickers that look perpetually wet. Hair that hangs down limp around their faces because of the endless fog. Living in this city is like being in a low-budget vampire movie, all the time. The only good thing about London in the late spring is the nightlife, because you can just drink away the misery.
Killian!
My name is shouted. That voice could only be coming from one person. I turn to see my agent heading toward me. The flash of cameras can be seen from outside of the rainy windows. Jesus. I roll my eyes in frustration. Can't a guy get a drink in peace around here?
Killian!
Blake shouts again. His English accent is much stronger than mine, and sometimes it's hard for other people to understand him. Sometimes I purposely ignore him with the pretext that his accent is just too insufferable to try and hold a conversation.
You're wanted outside. Huge crowd of reporters, all in the rain, for you. What the hell are you doing in here by yourself?
He grabs at my drink, chugging it in one gulp and dropping the glass down loudly on the counter. Was just taking a break, I mumble under my breath.
You're 19, he reminds me. You shouldn't be drinking by yourself, it's bad for your image. At least get caught surrounded by your devoted fans or something. I'm not letting you sneak away tonight. Get out there, talk to the press. It's good for the movie.
London, the last stop on our press tour, and the city I call home from which I've been away all spring. I haven't even had the chance to go to my apartment since I've been back in town. Blake has kept me too busy with absolute nonsense. It's good to be home, but at the same time, I don't feel like I'm home. I feel like this is just another random city, and tomorrow I'll be getting on another plane forgetting where I was just a couple days ago. The movie can carry itself, I reply, which is true. It's probably the best movie I've ever been in. I'm tired. I'm practically forcing my eyelids to stay open. It's after midnight. Can we just wrap this up already?
Groans Blake in utter annoyance. Don't be like this again. You've been like this for a year now. Ever since last spring. All moody and miserable. Get your spoiled ass out there. Suck up to the press. Find some girl to take back to your hotel room tonight so you can relax. And let's end this press tour on a positive note.
I turn my nose up at him.
How is shagging up with some random fan ending this press tour on a positive note?
He waves at the bartender for another drink.
It will end her night on a positive note and might put you in a better mood. Be grateful for your fans.
I am grateful for them.
I grab the shot that slides my way, tossing it back before Blake can take it. But I don't need to sleep with them all to show them my gratitude.
Fine.
Blake's lips form a tight frown.
I'll sleep with them all. You keep acting like you're better than them and see where that gets you in this life.
I am better than them.
I hop off my stool, pointing at the empty shot glass as I catch the bartender's attention. He refills it one last time. I swallow it down and wave it in front of Blake's pissed off face.
They spend countless hours tracking me down to just simply sneak a picture of me as I sit here enjoying a drink. They don't even talk to me. They just shriek in my face and start crying like I saved the life of their dying family member. I'm grateful for them, but after tonight, I'm done for a while. I need a break from this life.
A break?
He nervously laughs.
You're Killian Lewis. You don't take breaks, remember?
Consider this your warning.
I slam the empty shot glass onto the wooden counter. Cancel my auditions for the summer and see if the start of my next project can get moved to the fall. I'm leaving for a while. Going to find somewhere to disappear, where no one will find me. Got it? Blake squeezes his hands on the counter as if forcing himself to remain upright.
You want me to tell the director of your next movie to push back the start date. How much did you drink tonight?
I get right up in his face and stare into his glossy brown eyes.
I need a break from this life.
Then I walk past him and toward the door that will take me outside.
This will ruin you,
Blake yells after me.
Actors like you aren't allowed to take breaks.
The whole pub seems to stop talking. I can hear ice popping in glasses, it's so quiet. People start pulling out their phones again, thinking they're about to record the famous Killian Lewis make an ass out of himself. Typical privileged actor is what they think I am. But I've been doing this for a really long time. I know the rules. I call Blake over with my finger. His cheeks turn bright red and he adjusts his bow tie as he struts his way over to me. I then lean into his ear and whisper so that no one around us can hear me. If taking a break after more than 10 straight years of making you millions ruins my career in this field, then fuck it all. Then I put on my fakest smile and walk out to the flashing cameras and fans screaming my name. Chapter 2. The mind is a funny thing. It brings up memories and old conversations at the strangest times. It just throws shit at you. No warning, just a sudden flash of the past. As I'm sitting here, My half-brother's voice is ringing out in my head. His voice is always ringing out in my head. He's a good 10 years older than me, but he's also an actor, and I find myself calling him all the time for reassurance that this type of life is actually worth living. His advice is quite possibly the only advice I actually listen to, although I'm starting to believe he has a severe drinking problem. It actually might be beneficial to start searching for a new mentor soon.
You want to quit everything?
He asked me, shocked through my cell early this morning.
Just abandon acting after all your success?
No, Theo, I responded. I just want to have a few months off to think, to just not be an actor for a little while. I need a break from the insanity of this life.
Do it,
he surprisingly agreed. I could hear a glass hit his teeth. My morning is his night, and I was pretty sure he was drunk as we were talking.
Do it now, while you're still young and can use your immaturity as an excuse. Come hang out with me for the summer. I'll be a good role model.
I laughed because between the two of us, I'm definitely the more mature one. Thanks, but I need to be somewhere a little less under the microscope. California for a summer definitely sounds intriguing, though.
Come back, he begged. Remember how much fun we had last year while you were here?
Actually, I don't, I recalled. My memories of those 2 days with you are all a big blur, except for your black eye. That still stands out. He snickered loudly.
And if you came to visit for an entire summer, I'd make sure we'd have just as much fun as we did before, he promised.
Other voices suddenly enter my mind, loud and shrill.
Killian! Killian! We're here to try to talk you out of your insane idea to take a break at the peak of your career!
This voice breaks through my train of thought.
Will you focus, please?
I shake away the conversation with Theo and blink hard to bring my mind back down to reality, because it's obvious I had slipped away into my comfort zone again. I'm at the head of a table surrounded by my team of highly professional individuals that all care so intensely for my well-being, they set up this impromptu lunch meeting behind my back. First, we've got Blake, who lives solely off the percentage he gets from every single project I do. I'm his only client, and the only reason he's my agent is because my mom was intrigued by his memorized promises and slept with him a decade ago to secure my success. Next to him is his assistant, Madison, who's only a couple years older than me. She started off as one of my die-hard fans, but I never gave her the attention she desperately craved, so she jumped to Blake. Apparently, she has major daddy issues. Sadly, the only reason she's his assistant is because this is who he's currently sleeping with. Then we've got my publicist, Carol. She might be the only one here who actually cares about me. I keep seeing her shoot me sympathetic smiles over her large wine glass. And last, but not least, the cold-hearted bitch that runs my entire life. My manager. My mother.
Baby!
My mum grabs my hand, her fake English accent sounding extra absurd today. She's American but refused to leave London even after my British dad walked out on us 12 years ago.
We just don't want to see you make a rash decision and regret it. You have your choice of auditions all summer long. After this last movie, everyone wants you. You don't want to go to any of them?
I don't, I boldly state. They all start laughing at me. I haven't missed the chance to go on audition since my mum threw me into acting when I was 5. And now that my name is turning heads, I'm in demand and being pulled in 20 different directions by every director in the UK. My entourage is pissing me off, though. I fold my arms over my chest and watch them all as they share nervous smiles amongst each other.
I think you just need to sleep on it for a day,
my mum continues, tipping her wine glass back to swallow the last couple drops.
I'll cancel your meetings for this evening. We'll reevaluate tomorrow after you've gotten some sleep.
She waves down the waiter who's standing off in the corner of the room, scared to be in our presence.
We're ready to order.
He quickly rushes over, his face pinched in fear. He walks straight to me first. This is how it always is when I'm out with other people. The youngest person at the table has gained the most respect.
Sir,
he looks down at me. I bring my hand up to his shaking arm. You don't need to call me sir, I smoothly say. In fact, I look up at his name tag. Paul, do you think you can give us a few more minutes? I'm not quite ready.
We're ready!
My mum barks at the two of us. Paul stands there, not sure who to listen to. I squeeze his arm in reassurance and look back at the four. Three, if you'd take away Madison. Adults, staring at me in exasperation. I will not be sleeping on it for a day, I say to them all, smooth and calm. I've thought long and hard about it. I've made up my mind, and I will not be changing my mind. I'm taking the summer off, and that is that.
The hell you are, Killian!
My mum glares at me.
As long as you are here, under our watchful eyes, you will be doing what we tell you to do this summer.
I'm 19, and actually, none of you can tell me what to do, I point out.
As your manager,
my mum grinds her teeth and says, I will tell you what to do while you are here. Paul, I'll take the bolognese, I kindly say. Then I turn back to everyone else. Well, then it's a good thing that yesterday I booked my plane ticket to Ohio, so I won't be under your watchful eyes all summer, where you find the senseless need to control every little thing I do. Blake's glass slips out of his hand, spilling dark red wine all over the crisp white tablecloth. It soaks through like blood would on a wounded soldier's army shirt, yet no one does anything.
You did what?
I'm taking the summer off, I bluntly say again. Carol, when's the last time I've had more than two consecutive days off in the last, oh, let's say 5 years? Her face turns bright red as I put her on the spot, but I see a smile forming on her thin lips at the same time. Never, Killian. You've never had more than two consecutive days off in the last 5 years. Paul, I question him, if you worked pretty much every day for 5 years, at the ages of 14 through 19, how would that make you feel?
Bloody miserable, sir.
Bloody miserable, I repeat. Thanks, Paul.
My pleasure, sir.
I'm burnt out, I cry to them all. I'm screaming from the goddamn London Tower that I'm mentally not here anymore. I can't even remember what it's like to not be working, to not be waking up in hotel rooms, or when the sky is still black because of early call times. I get chased by fans just walking into a goddamn drugstore. I will not be throwing myself into another pointless role just to please you all until I fucking feel like it. Understand?
Madison grunts under her breath.
You just want to disappear, Killian. Remember that American actress who did that last year? She was your age. What was her name?
Birdie,
Blake quickly says.
Prime of her career, and suddenly she slips off the radar. Right before she's set to walk out on stage for some awards show. Pretty certain she bailed on a movie, too. I think she ended up in rehab. Drugs. Last I heard, she's making underground indie films because that's all she's being offered now.
She was amazing, Madison sighs. I cried like a baby during her last film, and she was so beautiful in this natural girl-next-door way. Could have done anything she wanted, and now no one even remembers her name.
I'm sure she had her reasons. I roll my eyes, vaguely remembering who they're talking about. Not everyone has to continue down this path if they don't want to. My mum dramatically wipes at her eyes with a cloth napkin. Her mascara is leaving a black rim under her eyelashes. I swear she does this on purpose to make herself appear overly theatrical.
This path is the right path for you.
The right path for me. The right path for Theo. What if we just wanted to be normal? You didn't seem to care much when Theo spent most of his childhood in America and far away from you. Or when he left London for good when he was only 9.
He was filming a TV show,
she cries out.
One that he was a part of for 7 years. And he had his father to guide his career all that time. I didn't need to worry about him.
Theo and I don't have the same father. His father is an American director that cheated on his wife with my mum. 9 months went by, and he had the luxury of paying secret child support until his wife discovered his illegitimate child 5 years later. He then took Theo under his wing, throwing him into the world of acting until my mum suddenly moved him to London for bigger and better opportunities. As soon as Theo could, he got the hell out of here and away from her greedy hands. His father is the reason for his success, but I don't tell Theo that. My mum tries to grab my hand, but I slowly pull it away from her reach. She dramatically hiccups as she cries out,
I can't help but feel like you're making a mistake.
And I can't help but feel like, as my manager, you're only thinking about yourself. She loudly gasps,
Killian, I'm only thinking about you.
Bullshit, I laugh.
You haven't thought about me since my first paycheck cleared the bank when I was 5.
Which is why I'm spending my summer as far away from you as possible. As far away from all of you, actually. Though I will miss you, Carol. She gives me a small smile.
I'll be ready when you get back. Ohio seems lovely.
I let out a snicker. No, it doesn't. But I know none of you will follow me there, so I'll somehow manage.
Killian!
My mum yells my name, causing everyone to jump in their seats over the shrillness of her voice.
If this is how you're going to behave, how you're going to treat us, then you're on your own. Good luck getting to Ohio without a mob of fans attacking you on your way.
I glare at her and then laugh under my breath. Did you forget? I'm really good at pretending to be someone I'm not. I look back up at Paul. 5 minutes to let the shock wear off, and they should be ready to order. We might need another bottle of wine or two. Oh, and if you could do me a small favour and not tell the press where I'm heading, I would really appreciate it. He grins and nods his head.
Not a problem, sir. But may I ask?
He brings his mouth down slightly.
What the bloody hell is in Ohio?
I pat his shoulder hard. My dad, Paul. My dad is in Ohio. Chapter 3. There's something magical about airports. It's like they're their own planet, separated from the chaos of the real world. I've lost track of how many airports I've been in, but they're all packed with the same type of people. You've got travellers filled with adrenaline because they're about to embark on an epic holiday they've been planning for years. You can spot these kind from a mile away, bouncing in their seats with their overpriced coffees and travel book bags, a permanent smile plastered on their excited faces. Then you've got the opposite travellers, the ones returning home from their epic holidays. You can also spot this type from a mile away. Gone is the excitement and anticipation, and in its place is now pure, depressed gloom over having to leave their relaxed selves behind and once again live life as they had before. Then, thrown in the mix with those two, you've got a variety that we'll just call the leftovers. Business travellers, travellers heading to visit family whether they want to or not, travellers escaping life with their secret lovers, and then people exactly like me. The travellers who are just trying to disappear from life entirely. I refuse to travel in luxury today, even though I easily could. I refuse to throw around my name and the perks I get from being Killian Lewis. I'm leaving that Killian behind in London. The Killian I plan on being for the next couple months wouldn't know what it's like to sit in first class and have the entire world handed to him each and every time he entered an airport. Today, I boarded my flight with my baseball cap on, covering most of my features. I was hoping not to be recognised. I was hoping to blend in with my surroundings, and it worked. Once safely in my seat, I purposely took a few allergy pills knowing they would knock me out, and then made myself comfortable up against the window. I slept most of the way to New York, completely ignoring the older couple sharing the row with me. I was in an over-medicated, drowsy stupor as I went through customs here at JFK, but I kept my head down, and no one acknowledged me at all. It was perfect. But now, my flight to Cleveland is delayed. Thankfully, in America, I don't get recognized nearly as often as I do in London, but I'm on my own for the first time ever in this country. There's no team to keep the fans at bay if I'm discovered. There's no one to shield me as we walk through the airport. No one to grab me food. No one to bring me a coffee. No one to simply reassure me that everything is fine. and the fact that I now have 4 hours before my flight leaves for my final destination has my heart jumping in my chest, like it's playing a paddle ball game with itself. I tuck my baseball cap down firmly on my head and walk to my gate. It's packed. People look pissed. Babies are crying with snot dripping down their sticky faces. Kids are running in circles like trapped dogs. I start to sweat and scan the area for an empty seat in which I can barricade myself. I need a corner in the back of this room, away from life, away from everyone at this gate. I need to be invisible. I step over the legs of people lounging in their seats who don't even bother moving their tripping hazards out of the way. I step over the bodies of toddlers rolling on the crumb-filled floor while their parents sit there staring at their phones. I walk right over to the only empty seat I can see. I walk right over to a girl who has her head resting up against the wall, her own baseball cap pulled down with her wild brown hair spilling out from under it as she reads a book. Who in the bloody hell reads actual books anymore? She doesn't look like a bloodthirsty fan as she carefully flips the page. I know looks can be deceiving, but I don't have any other options right now. Is that seat taken? I point and shakingly ask. She looks up at me over her book. Her light grey eyes lock right onto mine. Jesus Christ. She's absolutely beautiful. And she's staring at me with this weird look on her face. Shock. Surprise. Fright. I've seen it all before and I'm almost certain she knows who I am. A lot of fans act frozen in terror when they see me in person for the first time. But this one is behaving differently. And my fear of the unknown is washed away with the sudden urge to pull this girl into my arms and whisper sweet nothings into her ear. As an actor, am I just predisposed to play out love stories in my head at all times? Her eyes don't move, and she blows a large bubble with the gum that she's chomping down on with her teeth. It pops, and she carefully brings it back into her perfect small mouth. I'm ready to bolt, ready to run and hide in a storage closet for the next 4 hours before she alerts the entire boarding area who I really am, or before I ask her to run off with me into the colourful sunset that ends every love story movie. "It's all yours," she suddenly says. Her voice is like butter, like sweet butter that melts over my entire soul as she speaks. Am I really swooning over her goddamn voice? I let out a loud sigh and instantly throw myself down into the chair. If she knows who I am, she's not going to tell anyone right now, and for that, I'm eternally grateful. But now I have to sit here next to her, because if I quickly run away, I'll cause a scene. I'm not sure what's worse. Sitting here next to this girl who suddenly has me questioning my entire life and its worth, or running like a mentally ill quack straight down the terminal with all eyes on me. "Rough day?" she asks, peering under my hat. My heart lands directly in my throat. Obviously, I've been this close to girls before, but each moment with them has always been planned out so thoughtfully. All I've ever had to do is act my role. It's almost a curse being an actor during your puberty years. You know how to act in front of girls your age, but you don't know how to behave in front of girls your age unless the cameras are rolling. This is real life, not some script. And the longer her eyes are on mine, the harder it is to form an actual thought. "Long day," I finally reply. Two words. That's all I can manage right now. "Yeah?" She opens her tattered book bag and throws her book inside. She pulls out a bag of pretzels and tosses it onto my lap. "I've learned the key for long travel days is to just keep snacking and drinking. But people frown upon getting drunk at airports." I laugh at her. She can't be any older than me. "Stay cool, Killian." "How old are you?" I ask. "Does it matter?" "To the bartenders, it might." She waves me off like I'm insane. "No one really cares how old you are in airports." "You travel a lot, I take it." She snickers, like I should already know the answer to this, and she's shocked that I don't. "I can't remember how many airports I've been in, but this one, I guess, is the one I spend the most time in lately. I should have my own lounge here at this point,
Or at least they could dedicate a terminal to me.
Who is this girl?
Where'd you fly in from? London? She goes on.
What gave it away? I grin.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?